63. I came here on May Day of 63. I remember I hitchhiked with a person whom I think is the person who introduced Rudy Dutschka to his wife, to the woman who became his wife. His name was Luciano Lovato, and he was an Italian communist who lived in Berlin, had a German girlfriend. I was out at the near Münchner Freiheit, Munich was still quite small, and there was the entrance to the Autobahn. I was out there, I met this fellow, and we hiked together, and we stayed, get an idea of the kinds of places I stay in the Bahnhofsnitzchen, and we were the only people there. He read me his, it was the last border town in Bavaria before you went into Germany. He read me Brecht. I had read a little Brecht, but he read me some Brecht, and I was totally overcome. And he translated Brecht into Italian and so forth. And he hung out at the Café am Steinplatz, and the woman, the American woman who married Rudy Dutschka, who was studying theology here. But it was, you know, I came up here to go to the what was then called the Hive Beka. It took forever to find a place to live, and I stayed in the youth hostel for, I think, 6 weeks in Tegel. I found a place here in Schöneberg in the Geisbergstrasse, which had been ausgebombt. The front house, the Forder house, was totally bombed, and it had no electricity. And I was desperate, so I moved in there, and there were four of us staying in a three-bedroom apartment, a German couple and an American. Fortunately, it was like June and July, and so the fact that there was no electricity didn't make that much difference. And then we had to leave that place. I had to go to a Makler to find my second place, and that was in the Halberstädter Straße near Bahnhof S-Bahnhof Hallensee. I had to pay, and again I was desperate, I had to pay 3 months' rent in advance. It was 300 marks. And there was a couple who were renting this apartment who seemed unusually involved in the process of my taking over their apartment, to the extent I was young and innocent, that he drove me to the bank to cash my traveler's check so that I could do this. I came back. I was pleased in an apartment with the Zentralheizen, which I thought was a real luxury. I was able to use the Badewanne for the first time in my history in Germany. I thought I had a really good deal. And then the woman, who was a very tall, gaunt woman named Fräulein Wendker, said, "Übrigens gibt es für die nächsten Tage kein Licht." And I thought, I just moved out of a place with no Licht. The very next morning, I wake up, the doorbell ring, and it's a little red-faced fat man named Herr Mett. And he says, "Wer sind Sie denn?" And I said, "Ich bin der neue Untermieter." And he said, "Der neue Untermieter, das ist ja komisch. Es muss hier in 30 Tagen geräumt werden." After I had paid 3 months' rent. And then they screamed at each other. He said, "Fräulein Wendker, wie lange spielen Sie eigentlich dieses Spielchen?" And they screamed at each other for half an hour, and then she came to me with tears running down her high cheekbones, and I said, "Müssen Sie ausziehen?" And she said, "Nein, es ist alles okay." So I wanted to believe that, and so another week went by, and there was still no Licht. And if this was October, it was not like June and July, it's October, and I had no money. I had given all of my money to her for the rent. So I had to go out every evening around 4:30 or 5 because it was too dark to do anything. I finally asked the housewife. I said, what's happening? Does she have to move or not? And she said, "Yes, she has to move." And I said, "What's the name? Can I talk to this Herr Mett?" I went to see Herr Mett. Herr Mett found me another place in the Bundesallee 55. But in the meantime, I confronted Frau Fräulein Wendker, who I haven't described the apartment. I thought, at long last, I have a landlady who's messier than I am. Maybe she'll leave me alone. Her bed was covered with old, sort of yellowed copies of the Morgenpost. And the kitchen, there were two piles in the kitchen. One was of empty matchboxes for lighting candles, since there was no electricity. And the other was empty sardine tins, which is what she lived off of. The bathtub, which I was allowed to use, was encrusted with candle wax in the inside of the tub, running down the wall. And then she came, and I was painting a still life in there. And I closed my door to paint. I wasn't interested particularly in relating to Fräulein Wendker. And she said, she looked at it. She said, "Die Farben sind dunkel und unfreundlich, so wie sie. Sie malen immer hinter verschlossenen Türen. And so anyway, Herr Met, I went to see Herr Met in Wilmersdorf at the Amt für Sozialwesen in Wilmersdorf. And he got me this place in the Bundesallee in another building which had been bombed out, which no longer exists. And this is a woman, Frau Ploch, whose children had been taken away from her because her husband had died and she couldn't support them. So they made her take boarders in this apartment in the Bundesallee. Her two boarders were me and a nurse named Frau Schlefka, who was 50 and had a 25-year-old boyfriend named Dieter. And Frau Ploch was very, very sweet and worked like from 8 o'clock in the morning till midnight trying to get enough money to get her children back. I came home from the Hafebeek Kraal one day, and by this time, because they had dynamited the front of the building, while I was there, they dynamited the front of the building. You had to walk through a hole in a billboard, and then walk through a back garden, and then over a fence, and through the basement, and then come up the stairway, which had all of these marks from Russian bullets from World War II. And I was on the top floor. I came home one day and walked into the, and they were building the U-Bahn underneath, the Steglitz slide. They were building the U-Bahn underneath, so you got all of this kind of noise. And I walked in one day around 4 o'clock, and it was filled with smoke. Frau Schlefka had fallen asleep smoking on her bed and set her mattress on fire. She said, Charlie, wir müssen etwas tun. And so I took the mattress, smoldering mattress, and I took it into the bathroom and turned on the water, and the water had been shut off. And so then I took the mattress. I thought, I've got to get it out of here. You know, it's set the place on fire. And I thought, if I can get it downstairs and put it into those metal garbage cans, then, you know, everything will be all right. And so I took it down the 4 flights of stairs, this smoldering mattress, and went out into the back and started trying to stuff it into the garbage cans. And I'd swear, all the windows of the apartments opened, and all of the women were screaming, you're going to set our houses on fire. You can't do that. And I was completely intimidated by them. And so I pulled it out and took it back upstairs. And the only thing I could think to do with it was to put it on Frau Ploch's balcony. And so Frau Ploch, poor woman, comes home at midnight, walks in the apartment, smell smoke, and walks into her bedroom and sees a smoldering mattress on the balcony. As a naive American, a naive Texan, I fell in love with the work of Paul Klee, and I wanted to be a painting student. I had studied a year in London, and I traveled in Germany, although I hadn't gone to Berlin, in 1961. I read Gualtieri di San Lazzaro's book on Paul Klee, and I got very into Paul Klee, and I thought that if I went to Munich, that even after two world wars, that the spirit of the Blue Rider would be alive and well. Mm-hmm. And I applied to the Akademie. I sent them drawings. I worked on my German, which was practically non-existent, putting the captions in German, and I wrote a letter, you know, applying. And I sent it off, and I never heard from them. And I took the freighter, and when I arrived on this freighter in Bremerhaven, I had a letter of rejection.
There is another famous person who got rejected.
Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
I have no political ambition. And so what happened? I was rejected, and I studied with this unrepentant Nazi painter, who it turns out the wife of Arthur Danto also studied with. Hein König, and you walk into it was in Schwabing in the Leopoldstrasse near Mönchenfreiheit. And so I took classes there, and it was kind of awful. I mean, it was terrible. And I went to the Akademie again, and I took my portfolio, and this fairly conservative painter, Eric Kletta, his name was, I showed him my stuff, and he was very positive. He said, I don't make the decision, but I really like your work. And he showed it to his students, and I liked it. And then I got rejected again. And I just decided I can't go on in the school. I went to Berlin in April. I took an all-night bus. I went to Berlin, and I went to the Akademie, and it was too late to be accepted. But they said, as a Gastjahr, I could go there. And so on May Day, I came up, and I was a guest here at the IFBK, and I applied there and was rejected. This Hans Jänisch. No, it's strange because my professor really liked my drawings and my work. And so when this Hans Jänisch, who had been a prisoner of war in Texas, World War II, and picked it out and said, "Wo ist Ihre Seele?" He said, "Wo ist Ihre Seele?" And then these other people who were doing horrible drawings but with lots of Seele were accepted. And I was rejected. And I thought, you know. And by that time, I was sitting in America House reading the art magazines, and I thought, well, this is kind of stupid because things were just beginning to get interesting in Germany. And I thought, what am I doing here? I should be in New York. And so I wrote to Cooper Union, and that was too late. And so I went back to Texas, became an art historian, and it was very, very important to me. I mean, I was a kind of dreamy, romantic youth, and I came to Berlin. It completely changed my orientation to the world. I was in town. I heard his speech. I was there at Rathaus Schoenebeck. People behind me were commenting on the length of my hair. And then I was here when he was shot. And I was in the Fachhochschule. Yeah, I went to Rathaus Schoenebeck, 2:00 in the morning, and Willy Brandt gave a speech with the tears streaming down his face. I mean, it was an incredible experience. And then I was here when the wall came down. So.